Welcome into episode 88 of the Godly MN podcast. We are going back to last week. We're going to finish the podcast.
We were not very intentional last week with our time.
We very much intended to get the entire outline done. And at 25, 26 minutes, we looked at it and said, yeah, we don't really want to rush through this because we do think we can get so much really good content out of this, which is structuring our day. So we talked about obviously the how to be productive, or in the last one, like the need to be intentional, the need to optimize our day, the need to be productive, but then also the need to rest as well. And we wanted to let that point stand before we just rush through these at the end. So we do have I think a very good episode that was still on the same outline, but we want to get a lot more into the nuts and bolts of structuring your day.
Yeah, very practical, very how-to, tip-based. And so we got seven things. I'm going to go ahead and get started because we'll probably have a good bit to say on all of these. Number one, and let me give the qualifier here. A lot of this is going to depend on your current situation in life. Your current job. Are you a typical 8-to-5 person? Do you make your own schedule? Somebody like Joe? Do you work nights? Are you a 2 to 11 p.m. type of worker? Are you in school? So that's the kind of qualifier I'll get out of the way. Is that's why I thought about framing this outline in the sense of, okay, from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. do this, from 8 a.m. to, it's like, that's going to be for everybody that doesn't have that schedule. It's going to be like, okay, well, that didn't apply to me. And so we don't really have time frames on these as far as specific hours of the day, but I would say kind of mold these to whatever your current circumstance is, to whatever your current time frame is. Obviously, if you've got a class from 8 to 10 every morning, and then we say, hey, make sure you get all this stuff done this morning, and you don't think you'll have time to, just adapt it is what I would say. But number one, and I think a lot of people this one would work for. Number one, when possible, start your day with God. When possible, start your day with God. Now, when I say when possible, I've brought this up before. Tomorrow morning, I get up for work, and I will be getting up at before 4 a.m. I'll be getting up at 3:30, 3:45, somewhere in that range. That would not be a day I consider possible to get up. I suppose I could get up at 3 or 2:45 instead and spend time with God. But
I mean, don't you care?
Yeah, exactly. That's not ideal. And there's a lot of people that maybe do work really early, and so that might not be possible. But for others, if your work starts at 8 or your work starts at 9, or obviously if you make your own schedule, I think it's very important to make kind of one of the first things you do, get up, get your coffee, study your Bible, spend time in prayer, spend time in meditation, maybe just reading your Bible, whatever it is. I would love, if I could make my own schedule, that'd be the first thing that I would do every single day. And so, again, a lot of you in college, a lot of you maybe are working less than 40 hours, or maybe it's a 9-to-5, whatever. Start your day with God when possible. I think it's big.
So I would say if you are consistently waking up at like 4 a.m., that would be where I would look to actually back it up a little bit earlier, because you've gotten your body in that rhythm.
Like if it's every single day.
Correct. If it's every single day, I would consider 15 minutes early, whatever it is. The other thing for those that are married or that are going to be married, if your wife is, you know, hopefully you're bringing home the bacon and she's able to stay home. But even if not, I would strongly encourage you both to get up. And my wife and I do this, and it is the best part of our day. We get up and we study the Bible together in the morning. Even on the days we go to the gym, by the time I come back at like 7:15, 7:30, the kids are usually up. We still, as a family, sit down with our Bibles while they're eating breakfast.
Yeah.
We read and things like that. And that's pretty much a consistent daily thing.
Well, talk about why that's so good in the morning. We talked about it in the Conquer Your Morning episode, but specifically for time with God.
It starts the day off just about as good as you can. It's got the proper frame of mind where it's like, hey, I'm here to serve God today. I'm here to glorify God. We want to keep that top of mind throughout the day. And so often, due to lack of intentionality, that's the first thing that goes, is we get busy doing everything else and we forget that our job as Christians is to glorify God in what we do. So I think it gives the appropriate mindset. It also brings peace, first thing. Before I'm just checking Twitter and everything, go, man, the world's falling apart and, you know, the debate. And this. Okay, you know what? Let's calm that down. Let's make sure that we're paying attention, you know, the paying attention to things that we should, that we're putting our attention, our focus, our time, our intentionality on peaceful things, and that God's in control, meditating, praying, things like that.
What is I gotta get better at looking up stuff before, but the psalm about early in the morning, I will seek your name or sing your praise, something like that. The idea that's how the psalmist started his day. Again, should have looked it up. I apologize. But there is that principle in scripture. The other thing, and it's going to tie us into the next one, is I've seen this where I'll tell myself, yeah, I will do my Bible study this afternoon, or maybe I'll do it before bed. And it's like, man, the later the day goes on, stuff just ends up filling up your time, filling up your schedule. And you can still do it later on, of course, but I have found that when possible, it is far better to start your day with it. But let's get into number two, Joe. which is we're the gym podcast. We had our fourth episode about working out. We are strong advocates that every young man should work out, every young man should exercise. So our second tip, our second principle for structuring your day is try to exercise or work out earlier rather than later. We've referenced the 5 a.m. club before, the productivity business book that is pretty popular. That's the first thing that he recommends doing as soon as you get up in the morning at 5 a.m. is 15, 20 minutes of exercise. It kind of gets your blood going for the day, gets your blood pumping, your metabolism, all that. I tend to agree, not just for that reason, but for the simple purpose or for the simple fact of as the day goes on, and maybe this is just me, I know a lot of people like night workouts and maybe going after work or whatever.
Weirdos.
As the day goes on for me, man, I tend to want to go less and less and less. Oh, yeah. You know, if I can get it done early, I feel great for the day. What are your thoughts on this one?
If I had a dollar for every time I told myself, okay, I'm not going to do it in the morning, but I'll do it later, and then I did not do it, I'd be in Europe right now or something. It would be, you know.
You just don't want to do it as the day goes on.
You just don't. You find, man, like that motivation, because motivation, as we know, it's kind of like lifting weights, funny enough. You're just tired by the end of the day. Like this self-will and self-control and I'm going to do this, I'm really going to force myself. We know that nighttime is where it's lowest. This is why people get into trouble at night. You've been exercising that muscle all day. So the idea of me going to the gym and really getting it done, once again, the frame of mind that you are in at the beginning of the day, you feel like you conquer the world. When I'm up at 5 a.m. and I'm at the gym, I'm walking out of the gym while people are waking up.
The sun's coming up, yeah.
That's what's up. You know what I mean? That's what's up. Like, that's where you feel like a man. You feel good about life. And I do that on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. The Tuesdays, Thursdays, I find are where I slip a little bit. And that's why I try to hit the Peloton and such. But at the same time, those are the days where I find maybe I slip a little bit. Maybe I wanted to sleep in, and sleeping in maybe 6 a.m. or whatever. But then the kids wake up and I don't get to it. Oh, I'll get to it later. No, you don't. So the idea of eating the frog, you got a frog to eat every single day. Eat it early. Get it out of the way. Do it first thing in the morning. You will thank yourself later, because at night, yeah, first off, it's going to help circadian rhythm. You're going to be a lot more tired instead of juicing up at night where, man, all of a sudden I'm like reinvigorated. Some people get really tired. I find the gym actually invigorates me and it starts pumping some of those, you know, everything and pumping the blood, that it's really hard to quiet down at night. So you may enjoy it, but I would say eat the frog, get out of the way.
So to this point, Joe, I'll let you introduce. I've introduced the first two. Okay. So if you want to introduce the next one. So ideally, let's say you're a single guy, college, whatever, and you've got stuff starting at 9 a.m. For these first two, if it's me, I'm getting up at 6 a.m., studying from, call it 6:30 to 7:30, and then working out up 7:30 to 8:30, whatever, and then getting ready for work and all those. You know, the timing obviously is, you know, arbitrary. You can move that around, but I would love if I had a 9 to 5 or eight to four or whatever, 8 to 5 job. That's how my mornings would probably go most of the time. It's kind of the ideal structure, so to speak. So, yeah, those are the first two. Joe, what would you get us into for number three?
Yeah, make your work or schoolwork the primary focus of your day. Look, you're going to be there for 8 hours probably, or whatever it is. Maybe for guys work a lot, 10 hours. Make this the primary focus of your day. And I would say try not to make this a dreaded, like, I just got to get through this. You know, you're going to have those days, right? You're going to have those days where work just stinks and you just don't want to do it. For the most part, make this the primary focus of really trying to structure it, make it a, you know, this is what I'm here for. You're prepping for it mentally and things like that. You're going to do the best job you can. This is going to get into scripture, Colossians 4 and Ephesians 6, of you're doing your work unto the Lord. It's important to remember those things because, man, that's the first thing that goes, is like we get a negative attitude about work and then the intentionality goes out the window, and then the purposefulness and staying, get to the end of the day and it's like, I didn't accomplish the things I meant to at work. I was actually really lazy, if I really stop and think about it, because I wasn't intentional with my time when I showed up.
Right.
And it just goes by the wayside, and then you end up hating your job because it's not fulfilling because you're not intentional about it.
Yeah, this is, when I put this on there, I guess a lot of people will be like, well, you know, if you're married with kids, you need to make that the primary focus of your day. That's nice. That's idealistic. Yeah. It's very difficult to do that. I'm going to plan my week around. No, you're not. You get your work schedule, and let's face it, that's the first thing that has to go on the calendar is, yep, I've got to plan my week around that. And I think similarly with your day, you're going to have to work in your exercise. As crazy as that, you're going to have to work in your spiritual time, your work in your family time, work it in around the work schedule. Work it in around what your responsibilities are for those of you who are in college and schoolwork. You have to get your homework done. You have to get your schoolwork done. And so that was kind of what I meant when we're –
yeah,
you did a great job describing it. But the idea of like make it the primary focus because it is kind of what you're here to do. Your responsibility should be what you plan your day around. Now, again, your family and time with God, that should go up there right there with. That should be the next thing you add onto your agenda or whatever, however you put it. But you need to – And I guess the idea is like, don't just exhaust yourself doing all the other things and then, okay, it's time for work. Let me just, as you said, kind of drag myself in and just get through this. It's like, no, that's your main focus. That is your mission at the time. That is your purpose for your day. And so make the most of that.
We have to recognize the immediate and the long term. The immediate is, as I'm going to say, the job. Like, yeah, you spending time with your wife and with your kids and with God has long-term benefits. It does have immediate benefits and sometimes, but like we're playing the long game. We're trying to establish a life worth living. We're trying to really help our kids grow up and to be healthy, functioning, godly adults. That's going to start there, but let's be honest. The work is the here and now. That's the immediate, like I have to get this done. So when we're talking about what's more important, yes, it's more important to spend time with God. I'm also not going to take 8 hours that doesn't pay the bills. Like right. Part of me spending time with God is recognizing that I need to start my day with this. This is incredibly important. And just because I'm only spending 30 minutes with him, 15, 30 minutes in my Bible, whatever it is, 10 minutes maybe on the busy mornings, that may be the most important thing. That's also not the main bulk of the day. So we just want to make sure that, you know, some people can look at that and like I said, that of, well, spending time is the most important thing. Yes, but don't make work the second afterthought, you know, like, well, it's kind of important. Because
then you're probably not going to be very good at it.
Correct. Either. And then you're not going to be moving up. And then your family's actually going to suffer because you can't afford the bills when inflation rises. So this is important too, I guess, is what we're saying. Get us in number four.
Yeah. So number four, and we talked a lot about this last week, so maybe we'll be brief here. But number four I put on here is don't think it's wrong to plan time for enjoyment or entertainment. So we've gotten some big things out of the way. Again, spending time with God, exercising and working out, and obviously your work, your responsibility, schoolwork, whatever. I put this on here for a reason. Is like you don't have to like completely fill up your day and like I'm not going to leave myself any time to enjoy myself. That's not always the healthiest thing. There's not entertainment is something that God gave us to enjoy ourselves, to be blessed with. I think there's a lot of Christians out there that it's like, man, all entertainment is bad and we should always spend our time doing more productive things. And it's like, that's not realistic. And that's also, you brought up Ecclesiastes, I think it was last episode at the end, Solomon enjoyed himself. Solomon entertained himself in a lot of ways. And he did point out that a lot of it is vanity, but also there is a time and place to enjoy yourself. And that's the beauty of being structured with your day, specifically if you can get a lot of the things done in the morning, get your work done. Speaking for myself, I feel way less guilty at the end of the day to sit down and watch something or to, you know, to hang out with friends or to do something entertaining, to go play golf, whatever, to entertain myself when I can look back and say, I structured my day well, I got my stuff done, I've worked out, I've spent a lot of time with God, I've spent time with family, I'm going to watch this movie, I'm going to enjoy myself. I feel way less guilt there, and that's the beauty of it versus being really sporadic with your day, like, man, I didn't really work out, but I'm going to go ahead and watch this movie. There's just a guilt there that because you didn't structure your day well.
It works the same with pretty much everything in life. You think about food. If all you're eating is brownies, how much do you really enjoy it? Not that much. You've been eating healthy throughout the week. You've gone to the gym, you put the work in, you've been eating really healthy and eating good. And it doesn't have to be bad stuff. You're eating apples and it tastes great. When you have that brownie on the weekend, is your cheat meal?
You cherish it a whole lot more.
Tastes good. I mean, that tastes really, really good because it's like, that's not that you structure your life around it, but you can enjoy it in the moment and know, like, this is a moment for me to enjoy it. Now,
you've planned for it.
I've planned for it. If I go and eat brownies, if I polish off the entire pan and into the next week and I ruin, I'm not as happy with myself and it doesn't really taste as good.
Money, similarly.
Correct. Money's the exact same way. When you save and save and save, you can put that PS5 on the credit card, but you know what? If I save for the next 4 months, I've earned it. And there's such a sweetness to that of like, man, that's great. That's what we're talking about here is you get to the end of the day like, boy, I've been lazy today. I've got nothing done. All right, let's watch Netflix. You're not going to feel good about that. But if I know that I've accomplished things on the to-do list and I'm feeling really good, yeah, when I sit down, that feels good.
My wife and I are on a just absolute marathon of trying to not eat out hardly at all, spend zero money on out to eat food and stuff. And that's what's cool is her birthday is coming up at this point, and it's one of those things where we're going to be able to go out to eat and enjoy a really nice dinner or whatever we decide to do and not feel one stitch of guilt about it because we haven't eaten out at least very often. in a long time. And that's something that, you know, once again, depending on your financial situation, you know, I'm not saying you should never eat out or anything like that. The point is, if you plan for it, if you're intentional with it versus just willy-nilly spending money here, going out to eat there, going out to eat there, and it's like, now it's time for birthday dinner. It's like, man, I feel kind of guilty because we spent a ton of money. We're not going to have that.
Yeah.
And so very similarly with our time and entertainment. But Joe, get us into number five.
Yeah, spend the evening with your family. A lot of people look at it as, if you have a family, of course, if you have a wife and kids, if you're at home, put the games down.
Yeah,
you know,
I would agree with that.
Spend time with your parents. Spend time with your siblings. It's really important to reset, I think, and to have that time with the family. If you're starting your day focusing on God, focusing on being the best you can be, going to the gym, getting ready for work, prepping, lost in that a lot of times is this one-on-one or maybe, you know, just familial interaction with each other. That's incredibly important for health. It's not good for man to be alone. We know that going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And sometimes we can be so optimized that we forget that personal interaction is important, specifically with your family, or that it's like, man, I just need some time to unwind. And the unwind time is the exact same thing it was in the morning, which is alone. Your unwind time is you go in your room and you don't see anybody for the whole week other than maybe at work. That's not good. Spend time with your family.
I think there's something serene almost about the evenings and something that is, and again, for those of you who are not married with kids, I would agree this definitely applies to spending time with your parents and with your siblings and whatnot. But talking specifically right now to those who are married with kids, there's something so special about spending evenings together. Rachel and I, those are our favorite evenings of all time. Our thing, when it's not like we have anything major planned. Rachel makes a really good dinner. Maybe we go for a walk around the neighborhood, spend some time outside with the kids, read them books before we go to bed. Maybe, again, maybe that's all we do. Something so special, and I treasure those nights so much. And this is where, if you structure your day, you're intentional once again with your mornings and your afternoon, getting stuff done, you can really just dedicate your evenings to your family. And again, this does, people that work nights, and I work some nights, and so it's not, we don't have this every night as much as I would like to. But man, I cherish those evenings spent with family, to have the family Bible time, just to sit around the dinner table, specifically when you start to have, when your kids get older and they're able to have more conversations. And there's something so special about those times of being around the dinner table. Your wife's worked really hard to make this meal, and it's just your time together. That's something that, again, my ideal day is a hard morning / afternoon of work and then just time with my family at night. And so that's why I put on there, spend the evening with your family. And maybe that's watching a movie. That's fine. Maybe that's playing games with them. Maybe that's, again, going on a walk or going for a, you know, doing a family workout at home. Whatever it is, that can take so many forms. But having that family time is so, so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And it will pay dividends in the future.
Oh, yeah. Talk about long-term gains.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, the key, I would say, is having dinners together around the table. That is, studies have proven, that's really, really, really important. To sit down and have a family dinner around a family table. Not watching TV, things like that. No, we're sitting down. We're talking. The phones are away. The devices, the screens, everything else is away. And we're just talking. That will pay dividends in the future with your kids and such. Number six, read a book at night before you go to bed. I'm actually going to let you get into this because I know this is a hobby horse of yours.
Good. Well, I'm just trying to kind of walk through like the day. We talked mornings. Yeah. We talked work. Now we're in the evening and afternoon. Listen, it's football season right now. Love watching football at night in probably far too many fantasy football leagues. And so I'm always like, you know, okay, how's my player doing or whatever? And that's something that I enjoy. And I think it's a fine thing to entertain yourself with. Said it a few episodes ago. I find so much more value in the ability to put your phone down for the night. Go ahead and put it on the charger away from your bedside table so that you have to actually get up and go get it. Kind of that extra obstacle in front of you. And sit down with a book at night. Read. A lot of people are not big readers. I totally understand that. But I think when it comes to structuring your day, we've had an episode on reading and the importance of it. We've referenced it a ton throughout the 87 episodes that we've done. Are we on 80? I think we're on 88 now. Losing track here. But yeah, I think 88 that we're on now, we talked a lot about reading. And so, man, I find nighttime to be a great time for that, because there is some, I'm a fan of reading like somewhat entertaining books. Sometimes nonfiction is entertaining to me. Obviously, some of the impactful religious or maybe business books are a little bit more brain work involved, but I think that's the perfect time. And so that's all that I would say there is, I think the nighttime, maybe before you go to bed, or maybe just as the evening goes on after we put the kids to bed, for those of us who have kids, is the perfect time to just sit back with the book, 15 minutes, 20, 30, however long you're able to do it, and broaden your horizons that way by reading. Once again, you typically are probably not going to have a lot of time for that during the day. And as we've already said, in the morning, I feel like there's probably more important things to get done than reading the chapter of your latest book. But at night's a great time, in my opinion.
And I would go back and forth. I've talked about this before. I go from fiction to nonfiction. But I also find that sometimes, even if I'm on a nonfiction book, sometimes I need fiction. If my day is incredibly full, I still find it better to read than to be on screens, even if I'm not necessarily, you know, reading something that really helps. Sometimes my brain is so full, I don't have time to take in. So I was reading like Apocalypse Never, which is great, but it's all about going green and kind of what a farce that is of the ridiculousness of environmentalism in a lot of ways. Michael Schellenberger, great book. I was reading that a little while back. Lots of statistics. Yeah. Lots of, you know, I'm reading a book right now. We're going to talk about it next week with Manmaker Project. Really good. Lot to chew on. There heavy, are prompts kinda, at the end. Yeah. They're heavy. I'm not in the mood for that at 10:30 when I'm getting ready, but sometimes a fiction book is, and so just know what you need at
time. The way that I would break it down, you're exactly right, I do the same thing, but the way I break it down is like a self-betterment book, something like Manmaker Project or thing, versus an enjoyment book.
Yep.
Maybe some people's enjoyment is nonfiction, like your Elon Musk biography or whatever. Like,
that's true.
That's not fiction.
Yeah, classify that as fiction, I suppose.
Yeah, but, that, but yeah, that's, right. That's an enjoyment thing. So self-betterment versus enjoyment, and there are times when, as Joe said, you've had a long day, and it's like, I am not trying to read this. Even as bad as it sounds, this like religious deep book,
right.
And so give me something that's a little bit more enjoyable. I don't have a, I think that's perfectly fine. I'm gonna get us into Joe, you put this one on there, so I'd love for you to get into this final thing that we've got, number seven. I'm interested to hear what you have to say for this one.
So I was hearing this from, I'll just say, meditate or prepare mentally for the next day. This was Huberman or somebody, I was listening to some podcast, maybe Modern Wisdom, and they were talking about the importance of prepping for the next day and giving 10 to 15 minutes to focus or to think about the biggest task you have and the first big task you have tomorrow, right, the next day. And the purpose of this is you're already prepped, you've already prepped for it, so by the time you wake up, you go through your morning routine, everything we've talked about, hopefully all that's taking place. When you sit down to do work, you're already prepped mentally for it, and you remember what I'm here to do, the to-do list, the tasks, whatever it is that you have to do. You've already given some thought to it, and you've also taken any of the anxiety maybe that you had over that, and you processed through it the night before. You wrote down some notes, you had the to-do list, whatever it is, and so take them, I would say, to prepare for the next day. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be the biggest task. I think that's what that podcast was talking about. But I would just say, clear your head of the day before. Are there any regrets? Anything that, you know, it's kind of lingering? Any frustrations? Anything that was great that you want to just kind of rest in? And then think about tomorrow and the next day of, what do I have coming up? Am I ready for it? Am I, you know, man, I'm dreading tomorrow. Okay, you can sit in that for a second. Like, is there anything that I can maybe do about tomorrow to make me dread it less? Well, I know that, man, on the way home, maybe I can, pick up something for my wife, pick up some flowers, whatever else, and we can have a nice...
That's good.
Things like that. So you're already thinking about it, and then it's done. So give it a set time. If you're thinking about it so much that you fail to go to sleep, that's not, you didn't do it right. This needs to be a quick 10, 15 minutes. I'm just focusing on it. It could be 5 minutes. I'm just focusing on the day before or the day we just had. Tomorrow, big tasks, ready to go. Go to sleep, wake up, and I think you'll be more mentally prepared for the day. You'll find yourself way more mentally prepared for the day than before.
Yeah, that's really good. There is something that is incredibly important when it comes to the idea of, I'm going to set time aside and I'm going to think about what the next day brings. And I'm going to think about kind of strategize almost.
Yeah,
like, how am I going to, you know, I've got logistics. I got this logistic thing to think about. I got this to try to figure out how to get done. And what my mind goes to is like, if I set my clothes out for the gym and get everything ready to go for work, and I do that the night before, the morning is so much smoother.
Yes, it is.
As opposed to
make the coffee, you know, the night before, hit the delay brew, right?
Yeah. There you go, exactly. As opposed to, I'm getting up at 4, I'm, you know, can barely see, I'm exhausted, hop in the shower, and it's like, okay, what clothes am I gonna wear? Oh, I gotta grab my gym bag. It's like, that's just makes for so much more of a chaotic and less peaceful morning than, already got my stuff in the stack, ready to go, grab it out the door.
Every decision can steal your peace. I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. When you optimize the night before you're prepped, I love that point of like, my morning is so laid out at this point when I go to the gym. The coffee is ready by 5 a.m. When I wake up, the coffee was brewed right at 4:50, whatever
so
it
nice.
Is. And so it's ready to go. I got my cup, poured in the cup. If you lay the cup out, obviously the creamer, you're not saying it out overnight, but like, if you lay the cup out with your spoon next to it, it's so optimized. Like, A caveman could do it. I love those commercials, Geico commercials. Anyway, sorry. That just came to mind. I don't know why. That hadn't been on TV in a long time. But it's so easy and it's so optimized that it makes it so much more likely for me to get up. And the other thing is my wife and I are adamant about the kitchen table will be clean. There's no clutter. There's no crumbs. It will be clean the night before. When I wake up, my Bible is there. Oh, usually we have a candle that's ready to be lit that when she wakes up, she can go right into it. I'm off to the gym. When I come back, everything is set. Everything is nice. We're not having to worry about those things. Yeah. Prep yourself for the day, the next day, and your tomorrow self, your future self will thank you for the things that you got done tonight instead of, yeah, I got to do this. And what time was that appointment again? And oh man, I completely spaced this. It's scatterbrained and you'll find that the anxiety just shoots and through the roof.
That is literally the whole point of this episode.
Correct.
Structure your day. Yeah.
Start the night before, be ready to roll in the next morning. You do this enough times and I think you'll find that your week after week after week actually turns into a really good life. How you live your days is how you live your life.
Love it. We've gone 2 weeks on this, but I think back-to-back episodes, but I think these principles are literally used in every single day because, yep. You know, if you can master this and not even master, it's the best way to put it. But if you can put some of these principles into practice, and as I think Joe said at the start of last episode, that this is not to say that everything's going to go exactly the way you plan it every single day, every single week, exactly the way you lay it out is how it's going to go. Odds are that is not going to be the case. And so it's important to have somewhat of that flexibility, that adaptability, to be able to say like, I've got this on my schedule, but this really good opportunity to serve somebody came up. I'm going to go with that. Or, you know, whatever it is, there's lots of different examples that we could use. And so that's where we'll wrap this week. There's going to be days where, you know, things just don't get done a certain way and you're going to have to be okay with that. But I think having the intentionality behind it and having the structure behind it, it does a lot mentally for you to know I've got these plans and this is the way I'm going to attack it. And be flexible if stuff comes up. Again, is kind of the way that we're going to wrap this episode. But you've got godly young men, have a lot of things that they need to kind of keep on their mind, have a lot of things on their plate, exercise, working out, spending time with God. If you have a family, spending time with your family, obviously working a lot and diversifying, making money, fills up your time pretty fast. And if you're not structured with it, you're going to be a lot of wasted time. So we will end the two-episode run on structuring your day and productivity, entertainment, all that we talked about last week. And so appreciate you being on this two-episode journey with us. If you have thoughts, questions, comments on anything about this or maybe some structuring your day tips that you have that we did not include, we'd love to hear that. Again, Joe and I are getting closer to it, but are probably not masters of this yet, so we'll take any tips that you might have as well if something has helped you on being more structured with your day. But Joe, unless you have anything else, this has been episode 88 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We'll be back next week for episode 89. We thank you so much for joining us.